the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So though we are not yet in Lent, the readings nonetheless today are rather heavy and rather important. If you look at the second reading, you have the disciples, you know, Paul, talking about, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If it is true that the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. This is written in response to a number of people going around saying that Christ has not been raised. We have the disciples' eyewitness. What is an eyewitness? It is someone who was there that the moment the action took place. An eyewitness is somebody that cannot be disputed. Their facts line up with the facts of the event. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Jewish culture. They were the religious leaders of the time. Now, one side believed in resurrection, one side did not. Which side believed in the resurrection, the Pharisees or the Sadducees? You know how to tell the difference? The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they did not believe in resurrection. That's a little verbal way to remember that. So they were coming up against what were probably Sadducees who said that Christ has never been raised, which means that God's plan can't be fulfilled, which means that the hope that was given to all of creation can never happen. Why would this group of people, these disciples of Christ, if Christ is not being raised, why would they be the most pitied people in the history of people? Because their entire existence would be based on a lie. Their entire existence would be based on a false hope. Now, how does this tie into the gospel? Well, if Christ was not raised from the dead, the Beatitudes mean nothing. Do you get that? The promises of God mean nothing. So let's look at the Beatitudes. And I've heard this actually preached about several different ways, and some very interesting ways. We're going to break it down a little differently today. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We hear that phrase a lot, especially when we don't have enough money, right? Well, you're poor, you've got the kingdom of God. Let's look at this a different way. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are poor, because you understand there is something greater. How about, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who are hungry now, because you understand that man is fed by more than bread alone. We've heard that before, haven't we? How about, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. That one gets a little tougher, doesn't it? Blessed are you who will weep now, because you understand that this is not the end. That the resurrection is real. That life involves pain to be replaced with joy. That too is a promise of God. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. That's even tougher than the last one, isn't it? Here's the simple truth of that final statement. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Clive Barker. He writes, I don't know what you would call them, basically horror novels. And he wrote one particular story called Nightbreed, which later got adapted to the big screen movie. In it, there is a line where the seemingly normal person who thinks he's a bad person is confronting one of the people of Midian. The people of Midian are actually shapeshifters. And in this conversation, he's sitting there talking to her, and this woman says, "You fear us. You hate us because we can do things that you cannot. We can shift our shape and run through the woods. We can fly. We can do all these things. What you fear, you destroy. But when you dream, what do you dream of? You dream of flying. You dream of the impossible. Do you understand the wordplay there? Why are you hated for being Christian? Simply because you're different. Because your faith speaks to something greater than this world. What we fear, we destroy. Do you get it? Take that back to the saying such as, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Do you begin to understand the importance of those phrases? Don't like it because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of it because it means we have to give something up. We have to change. We have to do something different. The onus is on us, not God. God's promise already exists. It's already been made. It's already been carried out. It's already been done. God has done all that he promised to do. What does that leave? leaves us. You are hated because you understand something different. Different way of saying that would be, middle-aged man wants to buy himself a Maserati. Thinks to himself, I know. I'll go to the Franciscans and have them pray for me. So he goes to the Franciscans and says, will you say the rosary for me? Sure, sure, absolutely, no problem. Why? I want to get a Maserati. Great. What's a Maserati? Once explained, no, no, we can't do that. Try the Benedictines. He goes on to the Benedictines and says, would you say a rosary for me so that I can get a Maserati? Sure, not a problem. We love to pray for everybody. Pray for anything. What's a Maserati? It's a high-performance sports car. No, we can't pray for that. Try the Jesuits. And you go down to the Jesuits. Says, would you pray for me? Pray rosary for me so that I might get a Maserati. Sure, sure, no problem. What's a rosary? You get how easy it is to miss something? You know, that's nothing against the Franciscans, Benedictines, or Jesuits, but it illustrates the point. The promise has already been given. There is a requirement upon us. When we begin to change and live our lives according to the promises of God, well, that's usually when trouble starts to happen. Most people, when they think of Christianity at all, think of it as a magic bullet. Or Christ is a genie that you rub on a lamp for whatever you want. That if I just believe in the Christian faith, everything else is going to be gravy. It's going to be easy. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. I will tell you honestly that the further you go in Christianity, the deeper you go in your understanding of Christ, in fact, the harder it becomes. The more difficult it is. I give you a perfect example. I had more respect for my peers when I wasn't Christian at all. When I came back to the church and read the Bible for the first time for myself and actually started making connections, and the group that John and I were in, they were amazed and a little concerned. But everything was still pretty good. I began to serve in church as a lay Eucharistic visitor and a lay Eucharistic minister. Things started to get a little more difficult. It took me 13 years to go to seminary. Questioned at every turn. I actually went to a very good seminary and had very good teachers. I learned quite a bit about the Christian faith and Christian history. I hold a master's degree in what I know now, what I do now. Since becoming a priest, I am known as a homophobe. I am known as a racist. I am known as a bigot. I am known as a fool. I am known as an idiot. I am known as a weak-minded person. Where do you suppose that comes from? You would think many of those attacks come from outside. In reality, many come from inside the church. Many more come from other denominations. What we do not understand, we fear. What we fear, we try to destroy by any means necessary. The deeper you go in your faith, the more you will be attacked. Here's the very interesting thing about that, which ties directly into the Beatitudes. The deeper you go in your faith, the more you will be attacked, causing you to go deeper into your faith. That's actually a pretty cool thing. That's actually a pretty cool thing. I understand more now than I knew in seminary. But I couldn't have gotten to the place that I am now without being there first. The difference between those two places are the attacks that have occurred. Blessed are you when you are hated and reviled by men for your faith, because your faith will become stronger. Do you get that? When you understand that and you go back to Paul's writings to the 1 Corinthians and look at them again, what do you see? Paul saying, do you understand that we have seen this happen? We know this to be true. If it is not, we are the most to be reviled of any person. Most to be pitied. It is what gives Paul the boldness to speak this to the Corinthians. A little quick background on the Corinthian church, and that's where we'll close out. The Corinthian church, the church in Corinth. Corinth was a port town, okay? It was a place where the entire world did commerce. Goods and services from across the globe were delivered there. Which meant that it had a vast and differing group of people, coming from their own traditions, their own places, their own forms of worship. What was happening at this time where these people were intrigued by Christianity, coming into the churches, but they weren't listening. They were overlaying other religions on top of Christianity. Well, I like what this part about Christianity says. But you know, I really like this for my faith. So we're going to take this and we're going to put it in here. After a brief time, nobody could understand what Christianity was. Well, it's okay to do this, and it's okay to do that, and I feel like this is right, and I feel like that's right, and we're just going to kind of all mash it together, and we're just going to do what we want. That's what Paul's writing about. That's why he's sitting there saying, no, you don't understand. We have seen the resurrection. The reason that this is important is this is the promise of God from the Scriptures for all people in all times. This is God. This is not. This is why the resurrection is important. This is why, if it's not true, we are to be pitied. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven.